Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at three. Number one.
All right, number one, before we get into the weekend series and yesterday's game in particular, the big news coming before the game started, Clint, is Christian Javier. He's been placed on the IL with a neck situation. If you missed it, this was Joe Espada, the manager of the Houston Astros, before the game, as this was a late scratch before the game, discussing what happened with Javier.
So we'll see. This kind of just came out of nowhere, so we're going to see what happened here. But we are seeing how he progressed, but we're going to put him on the IL since he's got to obviously work through this, and we're going to need a starter in Chicago. So we're going to get Spencer Arrighetti to come up and take his spot. No, we don't know. Could have been on the plane, could have been slept badly. We just don't know. So the most important thing is trying to get Javier feeling better.
Yeah, for me personally, none of that is acceptable. It's like we're just putting this guy on from what we know there may be more that he's going to miss two starts. But past that, Clint, Spencer Arrighetti's going to come up. He's already made a couple of starts this year. But the tough part is when you got Verlander back, the thought was now you got a good three starters that you at least feel some level of confidence in with Verlander, Javier, and Blanco, the way those three have pitched. Well, now Verlander comes back, and after one start, now you're back at square one, where you lose one of those starters, and now you're down to Blanco and Verlander, who you feel confident in terms of what they're going to do when they get on the mound, and back to less confident the other three starts. So it's terrible, terrible timing right now for the Astros.
Well, look, you're 23 games in, and you somehow all three of your top three starters have missed time already, and you've been the bottom half of your rotation, whatever that may look like. The five options have either been injured or bad, so it's been a rough start. There's no doubt about it. But let's go back to Joe Espada's comments, Ron. Like. And I've said this before, like, and maybe I haven't done a very good job of it, but Dusty Baker would risk sounding silly or not making sense. And everybody knew Dusty's doing everything he can to guard his players, right? To protect his players. He does this. He's always done it. He doesn't have a problem risking sounding silly or foolish because you know what he's trying to do. Joe Espada has been very transparent, and for whatever reason, he's very black and white, very matter of fact. And so, for me, and I just want to clarify, like, for me, it's totally different right now with Joe Espada appearing to sound plumb ass silly, like that. That's for a manager to talk.
You've been
to
better off saying HIPAA,
right? Exactly. You've established yourself, at least early on. I know Joe hadn't established himself at all because he's still learning how to be a manager. But he came out of the chutes being transparent, not worrying about stepping on toes and talking about very intimate conversations with guys and all that. And now, so I guess my overall point is now with this, like, I believe him. Like, at some point, you got to look at it and go, man, how are you talking to the media and you hadn't talked to Christian Javier about how this happened? You hadn't talked to Christian Javier about how serious. How is he going on IL? How do you know that he's going to miss extended time and he's going on IL, but you ain't real sure what the hell happened or what exactly is going on? Like, how has nobody talked to
him? On the plane sleeping room?
And on top of that, you're obviously the team struggling. And you just, as a manager, you just sound plumb ass silly with that response when the starting pitcher that night, who really, I mean, has been your second best pitcher all year because either Verlander or Fromber's been hurt. So it's just, I don't know, man. This isn't the time or the place or I guess time is the right way to put it with the team struggling to come across like this on to the media. That's wild, man.
Yeah, like you said, they'd have been better off with the, hey, man, I'm not sure.
Can't talk about it. Not sure, can't talk about it yet.
HIPAA. Been better than, hey, man, this may be because my man slept wrong. That's the part I just don't. Like, from what he said, slept wrong or happened on a plane, like, to already know. Because listening to him, it sounds like this just happened. Whatever. Right? It sounded like it was a surprise. It wasn't lingering from his last start. It sounded like it just happened. And you already know he's going to go on the IL to miss two starts.
Let me tell you, if any of my players came to me and said, or if anybody came to me and told me, hey, he's injured, he's got to go on the IL. The very first thing I do is I get up and I go to sit down. We gotta have a longer conversation. What the hell's wrong with him? Get him in here. What went on? What's going on? We're not gonna go, okay, we'll circle back to that later. Let me go tell the media about this. Like, it just doesn't all add up.
Man. No, it's weird.
And again, for Dusty, it was Dusty. It was in his character. It's what he did. It's how he handled, conducted business. Whether we love it or hate it, that's not how Joe Espada has established he's going to conduct business. So it comes to me, in my opinion, it comes across different that when Joe Espada does it, because he doesn't have a track record of doing it a different way.
No. And with that late scratch yesterday, the Astros ended up losing the game and then losing the series after blowing the game Saturday. They lost 6-0. They had 4 hits, all singles, and were shut out for the first time this season. It was a tough one. Hunter Brown, he threw 84 pitches in 4 innings, gave up 3 runs right off the bat. They were down 3-0 after one, and never really recovered after that. Do you give Hunter Brown a pass for just finding out, I would think, that day that he was pitching with his performance, 4 innings, 84 pitches, giving up those 3 runs early? You give him a pass for that performance?
I don't know if a pass is the right word. I was impressed with the way he kind of righted the ship, because when I turned the TV on, it was 3-0. I was like, what in the hell is going on?
Hunter Brown is going on.
Right, and then he went out there, and he seemed to, at least the reason he was pulled is because the pitch count got a little too high, unless I missed something. Correct me if I'm wrong, but like if he was in a position to run that pitch count higher, I think he would have had a chance to stick around and maybe pitch a little bit longer. But nonetheless, I don't know if a pass is the right. It's an unfortunate situation that he's thrown out there. It's easy to look at, hey, you get a late notice and your first inning is the inning where you struggle a little bit, and then you seem to batten down the hatches from there. It's easy to chalk it up to, hey, that was obviously thrown in his face. So I damn sure don't hold anything against him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. 3, and he didn't give up any runs. Now, early, when you're down 3-0 and how this season has gone, it did feel like, oh, here we go again. But as you said, he pulled it together. I can't imagine, in everything you hear from pitchers,
yeah,
your routine is just absolutely blown up like that. That can have and a major effect. He thought he was going to be pitching tomorrow.
Yeah, 2 days early. Yeah. So here's the thing, though, Ron. I'm going to tell you, man, and I know the dude's down and out right now, and he's struggling. I really like this kid, man. You see the play at first base? And it's not about, like, oh, boy, that was super athletic and all that kind of jive. It's just, I mean, in today's world, I don't know who all saw it or not, but he tweaked his ankle a little. And clearly his ankle's rolled a little bit. Nothing bad, but just kind of – he didn't lay around and hold his ankle. He should have, because then his ass went back to the bump and was winded. And with that pitch clock, he walked the next batter. But I love his commentary after games. I love his mentality, that bulldog mentality. I love the fact that he didn't lay around and grab his ankle and ask the trainer to come out and all that kind of bull crap.
He just got to start pitching better.
It's all got to come together for him. But man, I just want to see him succeed more than most, just simply because there's something there, boy, that I really like about this kid, man.
It's not ideal.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, the Jets, they are trading quarterback Zach Wilson. Now, we had been hearing he was not going to attend any of the offseason stuff up to this point, but they trade him to the Denver Broncos. That's a team that is looking for a quarterback as well. You know the coach there and Sean Payton well, as he was somebody you played under in Dallas. But they bring in Zach Wilson. As we know, the Broncos, they traded away Russell Wilson earlier, or just let Russell go earlier this offseason. The deal gives Denver Wilson for a seventh, and then Denver gets Wilson and a sixth back. So not much there in terms of draft capital, but a fresh start for Wilson and potentially somebody that the Broncos will actually look at as somebody that could be a starter for them, potentially. We know he's got the talent, Clint, the number two overall pick. It just never came together in New York.
Yeah, and look, it never came together. As you mentioned earlier, multiple offensive coordinators, clearly dysfunction throughout. I watched Hard Knocks. It seems like a defensive-minded head coach that wants to stick his nose in the offense from time to time, and not when it's good, always when it's bad, which it's always been bad in New York. Who we kidding? Just not an ideal environment, I think, for a young quarterback to live, learn, develop, and become an NFL quarterback, especially a guy that has to change the way. I said it when he came in. I've not been a big Zach Wilson guy when he came in, but I can still pinpoint the fact that he'd given zero chance in New York to succeed. But this is a guy that needed support around him, because the way he played the game in college was never going to work at the NFL level. He had to change some things, and I just don't know that the Jets offered him what he needed in order to be successful. I do think Sean will be good for Zach Wilson in Denver.
See, you know Sean better. I just know him from what we've seen. Like, in theory, on paper, it looks like Sean, what he has done with quarterbacks from Romo to Breeze, obviously. And hell, I mean, you know, even Jameis played some of his most efficient time there. Just especially seeing the Sean we saw last year. Like, I do wonder how his approach will be with Zach Wilson, because it Zach Wilson seems at times to be fragile, and Sean does not seem to coach and have expectations of somebody fragile.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Sean is not. Sean.
Or do you think he was just being a Richard Head?
Well, I just think when you got it, I mean, the expectations for Russ are totally different. I think. When you look at Russ's corny stuff and the way in which he leads or hell doesn't lead, that's never going to sit well with Sean. I don't think he's going to put the same expectations on Zach or Jarrett Stee put on Russell Wilson. Definitely not Zach. Maybe Jarrett, because he's older and he is a veteran, but. I think he'll handle him better. I think in that system, the quarterback will have more answers. The quarterback will have more options when he is playing. So, you know, and I think the environment around the quarterback ultimately will be better than what it's been in New York.
Yeah. All right, we'll see there what happens. I don't think this means that the Broncos are out of it for drafting a quarterback early. I don't think this move to get Zach Wilson means that. We've heard them connected with J.J. McCarthy, yeah. Bo Nix as well. I don't think this stops that. But load him up. See if you can unlock all the potential that was thought for him.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, playoff basketball has gotten started over the weekend. All the home teams won their games, including the damn Clippers. And if you remember, not to remind you, I'm not concerned whatsoever. I was a bit surprised with Kawhi Leonard, that him being out, that, you know, James Harden woke up and decided that I'm going to play a little on Sunday. But if you don't, you want to play this? Is that what you have, Tyler? Okay.
I think that'd be the right way to go about it with our listeners.
This is a long-standing bet, and I feel very confident I will be just fine. We made this when the trade happened and they brought James Harden over with all of the people they had already with the Clippers. I will shave my head on this air. If they make it to the Western Conference Finals, I will shave my head, right? I am that confident.
If the Clippers make it to the
Western
Conference Finals, I am
10 times more confident about this than I was about Bryce Young coming here. I am so confident. I will bring on Clippers. I will shave my head right here. And I love my hair. I just got it back.
There it is.
Can I shave it? Can I do shaving?
Sure.
I'm gentle.
You can do it. Yeah, both of you can come in and do it.
It's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I think we should have Frank do it.
It's not going to happen.
Who you think gets them?
The Mavericks.
Oh, you don't think they're getting out of this round?
Nah.
Did you watch any of that game?
I did watch it. It's all right. I did watch it. James felt himself.
I watched that first half. James was feeling himself, but I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, without Kawhi, they look significantly better.
Yeah,
hey. I mean, they look significantly more athletic. They look, I mean, it was.
Just give it time.
It was bad, man.
Just give it time.
Okay. I mean, it's seven games? Five games, right?
Seven games. Listen. That James and Russ will do things to self-destruct this team. Kawhi, I don't even know if he'll play in this. I don't even trust that he'll come back. I mean,
they were up 26 and
half. That's fine. I don't believe Zubac has got to have 20 in him again. Be fine. It's all right. I'm good. They definitely ain't getting. They ain't winning two rounds.
As I've told you, I like the Texas team to win. So I'm pulling for the Mavs here, but. Boy, that game I watched yesterday.
Woo. Text line, go Clips. Yeah. Okay. There you go. See? Look at that. Look at the togetherness that I bring in.
What brand do you prefer?
Oh, that'd be such a fun day.
Like, what brand Clippers do you prefer to use?
No, I'm bringing in my own Clippers.
Oh, you bringing your own?
I got some. You could use them. You're not even going to have to, though. Don't even have to worry about it. I got some walls, I think.
It's a good brand.
I'll let you. It's not even going. You don't even got to use it. They're not winning two rounds. Damn sure not. They're not going to get past Dallas.
I think we should part of the deal needs to be we use Tyler's Clippers that he manscapes with.
Why would you do that?
on your head.
No, I'm not doing
those
that.
Those things have seen some days now.
It's disgusting, man.
Man.
We'll clean them up.
Do you clean them? I clean them best I can.
I mean, you see what the hair factory I'm dealing with over here.
I clean them best I can.
I've been using the same ones for about a year or two.
All right, coming up, why this weekend really, really annoyed me. I thought I had a chance to come in here Monday and really be right. Really be right. And they messed it up. We'll discuss that coming up.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Remember, tomorrow is a big day right here in Houston and on Sports Radio 610 as the McNairs will be here 10 o'clock in the loop. Make sure you stay tuned and listen.
You think they'll stick around and join our show at 2?
No.
Does this count as us being on your show?
No. Yeah. Now, if they said that sucker was at 1:30, then we might have a shot. Not 10. They're busy people.
You think?
Yeah. Just hang out here for four hours? Nah. So be nice, but they will be here 10 o'clock as the new uniforms are unveiled tomorrow. We'll see them all, so stay tuned right here.
You gonna be here, Tyler?
Sports Radio 610. Tyler will be here.
Plan on it.
He's gonna get pictures. You gonna get pictures? Where are you good stuff?
Pictures at the event tomorrow.
Oh, no, well, I know you're gonna do station. That. Station.
Here I mean, you. I plan to work tomorrow. Yes, sir.
No. He said, are you going to get pictures tomorrow? Here at the station with Cal. Get your lobby
photo. I don't know if I'll be here at 10 when they're here. I might be, but I got a pick with them last time they were here.
That's enough, huh? Yeah.
No, you need another one. Things have changed, man.
You think they've
won a playoff game since
then. Hold on. Real quick, and I want to get to
– Tyler.
I want to get to what I was right about, where I wish I was right about.
Hold on, Joe.
It's Ron. Yes, it's Ron Parker. You think they have individualized stuff for us? You think they come in here?
Nice.
Like in my mind, I'm thinking they come in here and they've got a white jersey for you, Clint, and it says Sterner on the back. They may have a blue jersey for Tyler and it says Milner on the back.
Hold on, show.
That would be big.
And maybe they have something for me. But
you'd get battle red.
I get the battle red one.
I don't think they'd spend the time and money because they don't. Like I think Hannah would say, Ron, we really like you, but we know you're not. You don't appreciate this like the other fellas do.
She likes to throw that out at me. But I'll be hot as fish grease if they come in here and y'all got jerseys or something.
Oh, they wouldn't do that.
No, they wouldn't.
And you don't get nothing?
Yeah, I'd be hot.
Oh, you get a care package. I mean, they're better than that.
Hannah, I could see Hannah doing it as a funny joke and really enjoying it.
No. That would be classless. They are classy individuals. There's no way.
I'm just saying that could be in the works.
What's that?
What color would the jersey you would want to be given?
The only one I've seen so far.
The white one. You want?
Yeah, I want for sure. Don't pass up for sure for Samoa. That's what my boy Emmett told me. I want the one that I've seen that I think is good. Now there's the other ones out there I may like more, but I ain't seen them yet. So I need to see them white.
They'd probably look it up, maybe give you a number 5. There's your number there. They give you 5 Sterner.
I'd be fine with that.
Tyler, get a number one jersey.
Because I am the best producer in major markets outside of New York and L.A.
You're two.
I had him at number one. Over, forget the market when you were gone. I had him number one overall.
Yeah, he's number two. Chris
Tannehill. He was the best Chicago in the country for a day.
Chris Tannehill, oh, Chicago, good still has him. It's all right, though.
I appreciated that for me, Clint.
No problem, bud.
Went a long way for me, my confidence.
Just remember it when my tone's not right. Just remember that.
It's coming soon. All right.
Always is.
But listen, man, I was this weekend, because we talked about it, Clint. I think we were right, more right than I even anticipated us being. We talked about it. We said Verlander is more than just somebody pitching every fifth day. His importance to the team as their guy is more than just what they can get from him on the field, which is extremely important. And from what we hear, he did it all. He came in, and not just before his start, 2 days before his start, it was reported that teammates said he spoke in wake of, at the time, the team's 6-14 start. Mauricio Dubon, his personal center fielder, who I hope he becomes every one of the pitchers' personal center fielders. He said, pretty much, he told us to get our heads out of our asses. And they came out, and they seemed to respond. And then, Clint, I'm sorry. His performance, this is Verlander's greatness. Clint, for him to come out, you know he's on a pitch count. It's almost, not even almost, but you could tell he pitched to a way that he could stay in the game longer. He wasn't trying to just strike guys out at every turn. He gave himself the opportunity to pitch deep into the game. I was thinking 4 to 5, maybe. You said hopefully 6. He gives you 6. He looked like he could have thrown another inning, but you want to, you know, be cautious with that pitch count. For him to come out there, shut things down, set the tone, and then get that win. And it was crazy, right? It fell exactly the way you dreamed it. Him for 6, then he hands it over to Presley or Abreu, then Presley, then Hader. And they go and get that win. And I thought, here it is. He came out there, he spoke to him, they get going, and then they lose the next 2 days and blow a game in the 8th inning with silly, silly things, and then Presley struggling again. But damn it, that pissed me off, because I thought we were going to come in there. I thought, oh, they're about to sweep these jokers. They got to sweep these jokers. But, I mean, that's to me why it was the last bullet for me was Verlander. And, damn it, they're up 4-2 in the 8th. And, I mean, you're like, here it goes. Here goes the run. What he meant. And then they blow it. But, damn, that was impressive this weekend from Verlander, man. I mean, Hunter's only done what he did once. Hunter can't get out of the 4th.
Yeah. The interesting thing is I don't think it's a coincidence that the one time that the 7, 8, and 9 inning went as expected was when Verlander came back and was on the bump. I mean, that is the one time I heard TK and Blum say it. That is the first time that's gone as expected, where it was 7, 8, 9, shut the door, let's go to the house, get on a flight and get the hell out of here. That's the one time that it's happened. I don't think it's coincidence. Now, it's unfortunate that the next 2 ball games take all of the wind completely out of the sails of the Astros when you drop 2. But all my baseball guys out there, I know it's not how baseball works. I know, I get it. But damn it, that was painful to watch.
Yeah, it was
painful to watch. I mean, you go from Verlander and them to a Presley dump on the mound to just
And then somebody's neck hurts, and now.
Yeah, good point. Forgot about the neck injury.
They kind of kick things off. But that's why I still want to – I want to give them that opportunity with Verlander coming back, because I do want to see how that finishes the rest of this road trip, how that finishes with him being out there. Hopefully they can, as he said, get their heads out their asses and play better baseball. They just seem to struggle to do the next
thing. Well, I'm just glad to hear Verlander said that.
Yes.
I wonder if anybody in the fan base emailed him or reached out to him on Reddit or whatever.
I feel like JV had that himself.
Just reach out to – no, I think they should reach out there and tell him it's too early to talk to people like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's too early.
Now, not to call it.
Don't be telling grown men to get their head out of their ass. It's
like
too early for
that. I bet he walked in there and said, damn it. I bet you – if he said get your head out of the ass, if that's what Dubon said
– yeah.
I mean, JV probably – oh, I bet he laced it. We heard him – We heard him, Tyler, when they gave him that speech, how many F-bombs I bet he's probably been sitting watching this incensed daily.
Well, seven times.
He's sitting down there. I bet he's spending a lot of time in and around old Presley. Might want to pull him aside.
I won't be surprised if he runs out there the next time there needs to be a visit to the mound. Josh, sit back. Let me get out of here.
Be nice, wouldn't it?
Like Verlander? All right. Coming up, the draft is near us. Is that him getting a tattoo? All right. The draft is near us, and the Texans, they're in a pretty good position. There is one position that I wouldn't be surprised if they field, but I think a lot of people would. And it is also potentially the real concerning spot for this team moving forward. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I got a question here for you two on one of the most concerning things I would believe on the team for the Houston Texans, on a team that you should feel absolutely great about. Real quick, though, I think I'm going to have to do it, fellas. I think we leave here, man. I feel like if you don't pay to that fat craving in you sometimes.
You got to cave every now and then, don't you?
I think you got to cave. I think I'm going to leave here and go to Dairy Queen and get that animal cookie blizzard I've seen there.
Been wanting to try that, man. You got to report back because I just
saw the commercial again, man. I think I'm gonna do it.
I mean, I love blizzards.
Sorry, Red.
I love those animals.
The animal crack, little pink and the white ones.
Mm-hmm. Those the sprinkles.
Those were one of my sneaky favorites.
Oh yeah.
Wait, say it again. I'm not. You two.
Do you remember? Let me pull them up.
I know what animal crackers. I know what they are. The ones with the icing on.
The icing on it. Yeah.
So, but
they've got Dairy Queen's got a blizzard now,
and that does it for you.
I've seen it too many times, and I think I'm gonna get a real small though. I'm gonna fire that up. I got to.
So you're gonna cave, but you're only gonna cave a little bit with the small.
Yeah, just cave a little bit, right? I think that's better. Well, you think I should just go with my normal large, and add caramel to it?
Well, I mean, look, I think you should do is I think you should just get whatever the hell you want and don't do it again for a couple and be
right.
done with it.
You're right. This is why I bring these things up to you.
I mean,
just go all in.
Consider it your cheat day this week, your cheat meal this week,
yes.
and don't do it again.
I can't wait.
And you may want to get you an extra 30 minutes of cardio in tonight before you go to bed. So if Red does happen to be listening, you can say, yeah, big dog.
Tomorrow's cardio day.
Yeah, you got to do more than just his cardio though. If you're gonna eat,
you're gonna bang out that.
Yeah.
I keep seeing that commercial. That thing gets me every time. I think I'm gonna leave here and hit that bad boy. I'm gonna have to do it.
Please report back.
I will.
I've been eyeing that thing.
Woo. And I'm gonna make them turn it upside down.
I didn't
down.
Even know it was a thing.
I'm gonna make them turn it upside down so I see if it doesn't fall.
I've never had to make them. They always just do it right there.
Yeah. I've gone to a couple of inner city ones that just look like they're just trying to hold it together.
they ain't trying to dump it over and give you a free one, Chief.
You're lazy.
All right.
Turn that thing up.
Turn that thing upside. Actually, man, let me just hold on to that bad boy. But no, where does the left guard / Kenyon Green situation. Where does that rank in terms of your concern with this team? I know we've talked a lot about defensive tackle. I know that's high on you. I know for me, corner is kind of an odd thing. But where does that left guard, Kenyon Green, because right now on almost every single depth chart, I see him slotted as the starter. Where is that ranked?
Well, that's the part that concerns me. I'm not overly concerned about the left guard position. I think with the interior, like with Juice Scruggs as part of the equation, I feel like you can have answers at center guard, whichever. That is an interesting dynamic because center is physically easier to play than guard, but you got to be able to communicate. Anyway, I think they've got guys that can get in there with Juice Scruggs in the conversation. I feel like you got guys in there that can be really, really good at the NFL level that can play guard or center, and I think they figured the other one out opposite Juice Scruggs. My concern is that you waste time with Kenyon Green. This should be with Kenyon Green. This should be, hey, man, if at any point in time you're not completely bought in, you're not completely committed to being a pro, and you're not, 100% like football's the number one priority and being our left guard, is then we got to move on. Like
you're talking about early on.
Like at any point from right now on, like I'm through with Kenyon Green talking about, oh, well, boy, he fought through this injury and this and that. Like I'm through. For me, if I'm D'Amico Ryans, I'm through with all of that. Like you are physically more gifted than any guard that we have that's going to get run at left guard. Clearly, Mason is the right guard. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the center guard. He is as physically gifted as anybody. At some point, if he's not going to maximize those gifts and play at or above his ceiling, we got to move on from him. And so for me, it's my only concern is I hope they don't spend too much time, waste too much time on Kenyon Green, and you end up 3, 4, 5 games in, and you got the same old stuff out of him, and now you're potentially have taken reps from somebody else that's going to end up having to finish the season for you. You got to hold his feet to the fire in terms of, hey, this is it. This is the last shot you're getting with the Houston Texans. You got to make the most of it, and they got to be ready to pull the rug out from underneath him if he's not holding up his end of the bargain. That's my only concern. I think they'll figure out the guard center situation, right? With what I saw last year, I think they'll figure that out. But I just don't want them to waste time or pass on guys. Cut another Michael Dieter because Kenyon Green is there. You know what I mean? You're hoping he's going to get it done. That's my only concern with the Texans is trying to force the Kenyon Green.
That's it. That is, like, that's where we get is. And I feel better with the thought that D'Amico is here and that D'Amico did not draft him. But I'm not going to lie to you, man. It felt like they were going to force the Tavier Thomas thing last year. It felt like they were going to force that and make that work until they finally couldn't. It felt like they were going to force the Titus Howard at guard thing to work until he got injured. As I said it last week, I think he'd have still been playing that guard had he not gotten hurt. My hope is, like you just said, is they are not into the thing of we drafted this cat 15th overall. He has got to work here. We have got to make sure we got to give every ample, like even to the tune of this week and weekend. Like, I'm not saying that Kenyon Green should not play a factor whatsoever in what you're doing this weekend, but you shouldn't be looking at this coming into the draft with the thought of, all right, we're set here at guard. There is no reason for us to look at anybody there because Kenyon Green is not in a position where he should be slotted anything, right? So that's just my thing is, as I said, D'Amico and company weren't here when he was drafted. So there's not that, boy, we got to make sure we're proven right to what we saw. So I feel better about that. But even with D'Amico being here, there have been some things of like, we came out of camp and it's like, dog, I know we see that you see and you know defense better than we do that Tavier Thomas cannot cover. And we saw repeatedly week after week that that was not working with Tytus Howard at guard. We saw week after week, and they were it almost felt like we're forcing it. That's the biggest thing. I think we're in the same space on that with Kenyon Green, that they forced that situation. That's what I don't want.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, man. I think, you know, I got a lot more confidence this year just overall because Bobby Sloak made it work with for a lot of a good chunk of last year. He made it work with a makeshift O-line for a good chunk. With guys being injured and swinging guys in and out of the starting lineup, and so I believe that they're going to make it work. I just hope that there's not, you know, other factors like where a guy was drafted or what it means for Nick Caserio if this thing works or not. Not that they would ever think that way, but I just hope that factors other than who is the best left guard for this football team, who can you depend on. Who's going to be in shape? Who's going to be in the right mind space? Who is going to give you a chance to win before you snap the football every single play in, play out? And if that's Kenyon Green, so be it. If not, I hope they don't hesitate to move on from the young fella.
Yeah, and it's just simply that. And we know, and you know, it's not always just simply that.
Yeah.
It's not because we're seeing it's not happening with the Astros right now with Jose Abreu. It's not just simply who is that? Someone texting, every time the Texans give up on a dude, that player goes somewhere else and plays great. Kenyon will probably do that.
Who'd they give up on to win somewhere else and play great? I'm not being a smartass. I'm just asking. Who do they give up on and win somewhere and
Tyler,
play great?
Tyler, help us here. Give us a thought. Tyler, who is somebody else that the Texans,
who did the Texans
had
yeah, give up
that
on and
gave
play
up
great
on and went somewhere and played great? I'm trying to think.
I mean, I always think of that running back, the Torres Achilles.
Deontay?
Foreman. Yeah, he went on to be serviceable. Okay. Really one of few, if not the only running back to recover
the guard.
Brown.
Dwayne Brown.
No, he's one of them, though.
No, but the guard.
You're talking about Ben.
Banks, Brandon, he's a guard. He went to the Eagles and became an All-Pro. Sean Pendergast is somewhere stomping down, texting and selling and yelling the guy's name. Brandon something. Brandon is – it's BB. Brandon something is who it is. But he did – he went on to become an All-Pro.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody's got a couple of them. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's not – I don't – I mean, I know J.J. had 12 – what did J.J. have, 12 sacks his last year? And
Brandon
I'm sure,
Brooks.
Brandon yeah, Brooks, it. There you go.
Thank you, Jared.
And I'm sure, like, name. DeAndre Hopkins went on and had some success at Arizona. But I don't know, man. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney, they moved on from him. I don't know that he went any. I mean, he's going to end up having a good NFL career, but nobody wants to commit to him long term.
DJ Reader, and I don't think that's a give up. I think that was just financial.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. All right, what you got coming up?
We'll see.
Sean Bajani's texting in. He's ready.
Bajani's ready, huh?
Brooks Reed, Brandon Brooks.
What'd they go on and do? What'd Brooks Reed go on and do? I'm not being a smartass either. I'm sincerely asking.
Brooks Reed had some good years with Atlanta, I believe.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a linebacker?
Like some good years that made you wonder why? Like, well, I wish he was still here, kind of deal.
Maybe
Duke Ellington.
I don't know.
The receiver. Oh, what you got coming up?
Well, look here. We got to talk about these boys up north a little bit, man. I love the way Jerry is handling Dak Prescott. I don't know if it's gonna last. I don't know if it's gonna if Jerry's gonna hold tight or if Dak's folks are gonna win out. But I love the way he's handling Dak Prescott up north. We'll talk about that. I'll explain to you. Have a little audio from Dak Prescott what he's had to say most recently about what's going on in Dallas and where he wants to be and how he feels about it all. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.